on Palm Sunday, it's our tradition that instead of me giving a sermon, we proclaim the message to one another as we read the Passion. Does everybody have a copy of the Passion script? If you don't, Carol's got the extras. But even though I don't give a sermon, I did have something I wanted to say today. So, sermonette. For Mark, who wrote down the eyewitness account of Peter, the crucifixion of Jesus was just as recent an event as the September 11th attack on the World Trade Center is for us. So we have to read it as something that was written down, life-changing, earth-shattering, and even more so for those people than for us. So we begin this day by reenacting that joyful welcome that Jesus received when he came into Jerusalem, right in the parish hall, all joy and all welcome. We blessed the palms, we carried them in procession, we remembered how the people lined the streets as Jesus rode in on the foal of a donkey, just as the prophets had predicted. And we repeated those words of the children who cried out, "Hosanna in the highest." And now we read the Passion. And if we'd never attended a Palm Sunday service before, we might think that the whole thing is kind of schizophrenic, because it's a case of the most unbelievable mood swings. And we would be right. It's only our familiarity with this day. It's only because most of us have done this over and over in our lives that we might possibly miss that the storyline of the day is about that betrayal on a cosmic scale, that wild change from love to hate. And betrayal is something that we all have firsthand experience with, I think. Betrayals are sometimes extreme and violent. They're sometimes small and mean, but they all share this one characteristic, that they come from somebody that we had good reason to trust, somebody from whom we had every right to expect good and not evil, from somebody that we had right to expect kindness and not cruelty, faithfulness and not deceit. And every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we've been studying the Lord's Prayer and talking about this, we ask God to forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And I think one of the hardest things for us to forgive is betrayal. Being betrayed by somebody we love, somebody that loved us. We might give that all over to God when we're betrayed, and then 6 months later, or a year from now, or 10 years from now, there's a word, or there's a photograph, a name, or a memory, and all that pain and anger comes rushing back in full force, and we have to forgive all over again. Betrayal is something so hard for us to forgive. And for most of us, it's a work in progress, maybe a lifelong work. So I just wanted to say that today, Palm Sunday, we not only just read this story, but we remind one another that our Lord willingly suffered not only physical pain, not only injustice, but that most bitter pain of betrayal by those that he came to and loved, those whose children he had held in his arms and blessed, those with whom he had shared meals, those whom he had fed and taught and healed, by his own brothers and sisters, by his friends, and by us, because we are all a part of this. Remember as we read that Jesus has truly suffered in every way as we have, and in his suffering he chose to know fully the full extent of what we have endured, including betrayal. And in this Passion, the heart of Jesus goes out to you in your suffering as well. So you may be seated as we read. We'll just take one moment of quiet, and then narrator one can begin.
chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus. They led him away and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
Jesus answered him,
"You say so."
Then the chief priests accused Jesus of many things. Pilate asked him again,
"Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you."
But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, Pilate used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate, "Do you for them according to this custom?" And Pilate asked them,
"Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?"
For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed Jesus over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again,
"Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?"
The crowd shouted back,
"Crucify him!"
Pilate asked of them,
"Why? What evil has he done?"
But they shouted all the more,
"Crucify him!"
So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, Pilate handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led Jesus into the courtyard of the palace, that is the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed Jesus in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him, and they began saluting him, saying,
"Hail, King of the Jews."
They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. The soldiers compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry Jesus' cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then the soldiers brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And the soldiers crucified Jesus and divided his clothes amongst them, casting lots to decide what each would take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified Jesus. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with Jesus they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided Jesus, shaking their heads and saying,
"Aha! You who would destroy the temple, build it in 3 days, save yourself, and come down from the cross."
In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribe, were also mocking Jesus among themselves and saying,
"He saved others. He cannot save himself.
Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe."
Those who were crucified with Jesus also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice,
"Elohi, Elohi, lama sabachthani,"
which means,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
When some of the bystanders heard it, they said,
"Listen, he is calling for Elijah."
And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to Jesus to drink, saying,
"Wait, let's see whether Elijah will come to take him down."
Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way Jesus breathed his last. He said,
"Truly, this man was the Son of God."